I have had issues in my life where I have not enjoyed standing in front of people and talking, public speaking. It's caused difficulty in our relationships early on, as I would get irritated and frustrated. And I remember one particular time, and I don't think I've shared this before, but I had to give a presentation in corporate finance in college on PepsiCo. Now, the only emotional attachment I had to PepsiCo was that I liked the taste of Pepsi more than Coke. But I did my research, and I was prepared, but I was not familiar with the company other than its readings on the Board of Trade and other aspects to its financial picture. But I gave the presentation anyway. My problem is, if I'm not emotionally or passionate about the subject material, I fumble around. I know, more than I normally do. I can't think of the words I want to use. I get choked up. My eyes water, the whole ordeal. And so that happened to me when I was presenting on PepsiCo. If I have something deep within me, a passion, a love, a drive, a motivation about a subject material, I can speak and speak and speak and talk and talk and talk. And in fact, oftentimes my wife is next to me and I start going off on the things that I'm passionate about. She'll put her hand on my leg, meaning, okay, it's now time to keep your mouth shut, or land the plane, or slow down, Tex. So there are certain aspects to what I enjoy or what I'm passionate about that I'm able to speak fluently. Now, I tend to be more pessimistic than I need to be, but you've heard me talk about where we are as far as the church is concerned in the West, and we're at critical junctures. Most missiologists would say that we are no longer on life support, we're declining to death. And that's bleak, I understand, and that's a harsh statement. But we are in desperate times in this nation. Now, many people would say it's time to act, and I would agree with that. It's time for action. But many would say we need to ramp up our evangelism. We need to program these things. We need to market ourselves. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to do a better job on Sunday mornings. We need to see what the culture is doing and be relevant. And now we can bring people in. We can see where the world is, and we need to be... There's a lot of movement that we see in the church that has, quite frankly, got us in the position that we're in right now. My heart is that we would pursue Christ, that we would long for deep, meaningful relationship with Him. The world doesn't need more programs. The world doesn't need, dare I say, bigger churches. The world doesn't need better programs, a better aspect to our Sunday morning experience. The problem is we haven't experienced Christ. The problem is we have led with the program, with the administration. We have led with motivational speakers and those who would cheerlead us on. And we have not led with driving people into their intimacy with Christ. Because once you become close with Him, once He draws you into meaningful relationship with Him, you can't help but speak passionately about Him. You can't help but speak of your love for Him. You can't help but over the joy that's overflowing from your heart. And you speak words that are not your own. You have thoughts come to you that aren't your own. God so oftentimes fills your mouth, fills your head with thoughts because He's transforming your thinking. He's putting the words, actually He's putting the revelation of Himself in your heart that you could speak of these things. We need to understand that we don't have to go and create the opportunity. God will give the opportunity for you, and then He'll fill your heart with joy and love that you have for him, and you speak fluently, passionately about the one that you love. The other day I was coming out of the Y, and I was with a guy that I play basketball with in the mornings. And I know he sells, he's a salesperson, a marketing person for a web design company. And so I talk periodically about that with him, and we're walking out, and I said, "So, how's business? What's going on with your business? Is it growing?" And he was excited about it. He said, "Yeah, everything's hopping," and you know, he's going on about the web design industry and how they have certain things that they're working on. And then I think he was sort of looking for something to say. So he said, "So, how's Christ?" And I sort of looked at him, and I said, "He's amazing." And then it just came out of me. I just started talking about even what he said to me the day prior about some of the things he was talking to me about, some of the things he was talking, revealing to me about himself. And he created the opportunity, obviously. It was pretty a direct question. But those are the things that I believe will turn the tide, not only in this nation, in all nations. We have opportunity to express the love that we have for Jesus in the places that we would never guess we would be in. And that's in the wide parking lot. That's wherever that is. But you have to know the subject material. It's not enough to rattle off things that you've warehoused in your head about Christ. God'll use us. I mean, He uses each one of us when we're in places of even rebellion sometimes. But God's desire is that you would experience Him in ways that are new and fresh, that He would reveal character traits about Himself. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to reveal the Father, that we would have intimate relationship with Him. Jesus said in John chapter 17, this was the prayer that Jesus gave, and He starts off by saying this: "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave Him authority over all flesh, and to all whom you have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Life is knowledge of Christ. Life is having relationship with the Father, the life that He has come to give. This is our mandate, not to go out and flippantly or without passion or without life give people evidence for the existence of God and for salvation. The purpose for the church is to express that grace testimony through the life that Christ gives. We need to experience that life. We need to have that light of Christ that just blows away those things in the dark coming out of us because of the time we have spent with Him. I didn't know anything about PepsiCo. And I spoke like I didn't know anything about PepsiCo. I wonder how many times, and I've seen it, that we, and I've done it myself, have spoke of things that we don't know just because we have felt obligated. This joy that Christ came to give, this life that Christ came to give, the knowledge of the Father, is to be expressed all over the globe, that those who would hear would be drawn by His love, by His grace. That's our mandate. Now, we're going to have time where we're going to, and this may be uncomfortable for some of you. I really don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, but in a way I say that's okay. We're going to take time and we're going to put scripture on the screen. And we're going to have people, couples, stationed that we want to pray with you. If there's something God has laid on your heart that you want someone to agree with you in prayer, that you would like to express, because guess what? Jesus loves his body, and he loves his body interacting and expressing love to one another that has come from him. And so we're going to have people that if you need prayer, if you want someone to agree with you, James says, hey, if you're happy and if you're joyful, let's do this together. Let's express the joy together. Let's rejoice together. If there's sadness, if there's something, a burden that you're carrying, that you want someone to carry along with you to the presence of Christ, come, pray. If you, God says to you, go pray with someone, go pray with someone. This can be a very meaningful time of experience the life of Christ, what he wants for his body. But also take time, reflect. Does Christ have your heart? If someone were to ask you, so, how's Christ? What kind of reaction would there be in your heart? Well, I go to church on Sunday. Church is really neat. Or would there be something boil up inside of you and say, let me tell you about him. I have this joy that I want to express to you. Let's take a moment to reflect and allow God's Spirit to speak. Because what he has for you and what he has for me is more beautiful than what we will experience in any other way in this life. So if we could put the passage on the screen. It's Philippians. It's what Paul says to the church in Philippi. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. As you well know, this is the Lord's table. And as a family, those who have relationship with him, he's asked to come, take together as a remembrance for what he has done, that give us opportunity to know him. And so this is not ACC's table, this is his table. And so if you have that relationship with him, you're welcome to take with us. I was looking through some of the passages that talk about exactly what happened to Jesus' body during the crucifixion, through the torture. And it occurred to me that here the eternal God placed himself in a position of weakness, putting our flesh around him, made in human likeness. And his body was beaten. His body was tortured. And in the end, after the crucifixion, his body was limp. He had given it over to death in order that we would not have to experience eternal death. This is a symbol that Jesus took on the form of human likeness, offered his body as the sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. Without condition, without hesitation, Jesus gave himself over so as we take this symbol, let's remember the absolute love it took for God to become man and offer his body as a sacrifice. Let's take it together. Jesus, I picture you in the garden. The anguish of soul. And yet the determination of taking those steps to the cross. I thank you that you love so deeply. That you cherish us. The joy that was set before you. And I thank you for who you are. Recently, I've been thinking through exactly what it means to have God's Spirit indwell me. I mean, a lot of times we say things in Christianese about, well, God's Spirit lives inside of me, he indwells me, which is all right. What does that mean? I mean, what's the application of that? What is it? How does he manifest himself in me? What is it about having God's Spirit in me that is new and refreshing? I don't know what it was like prior to Pentecost. I don't know what it was like under the old covenant. I don't know how people related to God. There's a lot of things documented in Scripture, but me to personally experience what they experienced, I have no idea. But I do know when God's Spirit is speaking to me, I do know his voice. I do know how he encourages me. I do know how a lot of times I do act, speak that is absolutely not me. I do know when he explains grace by his Spirit. I do know when he interprets his word to me, when I have no clue of what he's saying or what Scripture's saying, and then his Spirit leads me through. I feel like sometimes he puts his hand on the middle of my back and talks to me and walks alongside of me. I would not give up that for anything. And I think about those who were before us under the old covenant. I don't know how they responded. What was their relationship like with God? When Jesus spilled his blood, he made a new covenant, this new reality of life with God, where his Holy Spirit indwells the heart of the believer. His Holy Spirit speaks and interacts and encourages and explains things and teaches and strengthens and gives purpose and all those wonderful things he does by his Spirit. And it's because Jesus spilled his blood and said, now, here's reality. You don't have to go to a hill. You don't have to go to a place. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to do anything but rely on Christ. And my Spirit will come and make his home with you. As John 1 in the Message says, Jesus came and he moved into the neighborhood. Jesus came and he dwells the hearts of the believers and makes his home inside the temple of the heart. How can you describe that? Jesus spilled his blood that you and I would have that kind of access, that you and I would have that kind of deep, meaningful relationship. Let's take together. Jesus, as we take this juice, there's a sweetness to it, to the taste, and it doesn't even compare to the sweetness of your presence. You said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, you are good. And every expression of that word, you are good. There is no one like you. And for you to open up the opportunity for us to know you at levels that were unattainable, we see that your character and your nature is one of grace and mercy and love. So God, I thank you that you give us also the opportunity to express these things back to you. It's an odd thing. Your spirit dwells the heart of the worshiper, of the praise, of the words. It is you who causes our hearts to sing. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.